Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Since You Asked podcast. We are on episode 11, 12.
Yes.
Somewhere around there.
Somewhere in there.
We're approaching a dozen.
Yeah.
And today we are excited to be back for multiple reasons, but really today is a special day. The day that we're recording this is a special day. Not the day you're listening, unfortunately, but today is my co-host, Ben Farley's birthday. Ben, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. No, yeah. It's one of those things, like the older you get, the less exciting they are. So I woke up today and I appreciate those who reached out. And my wife's like, how you want to celebrate today? I was like, I'm going to go to work and I got to paint my office later. So not before I record a couple podcasts, though. So that is the most important way for me to celebrate. So.
Yes. Birthdays at our age are glamorous for sure.
Yes, they are. Yes.
Speaking of, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot. Mm-hmm. What number are you hitting today?
35.
35.
Yeah.
My goodness.
It's one of those, like, you know, your mind automatically goes to, I'm halfway to 70, and gosh, it went fast. And so I know the next 35 is going to go just as fast, God willing. And it's just a reminder of God's blessing in life, but also how quickly it goes. So
absolutely. And for half our audience, you just became the old man. Like, man, this guy's old.
Isn't it wild?
For the other half,
when you look at the analytics, we are, I'll say popular as a relative term, but we are popular with the like 18 to 25-year-old crowd. Not who I expected to be kind of our target audience. I'm thrilled, but it's that, and then it's the 30 to 34-year-old men. So I don't know if that was just me playing it on repeat before I turned 35, but it was pretty cool. So half of you have no idea what this stage of life is like. The other half is like, Ben, you have no idea what you're talking about yet. So just wait.
Yes.
It's a blessing either way.
Well, we're excited to that you're going to spend your birthday talking with me.
Yeah.
And I think we got a good question, real good question to talk about. But first, what's this contraption here in between us?
Well,
what you got for us?
I don't want you to get too excited because we both love French press coffee. It's a great way of making it. This, however, was not brewed in the French press. This is simply a transportation vehicle for the coffee. I forgot it at my house, full transparency, so I had to make it at the house and bring it over. However, this coffee was recommended to us by a friend of the show, Nick Eckleberry of Eckleberry Barber Company in Flora, Illinois. If you're around the area,
free plug right there.
Go get you a haircut. He's phenomenal. Nick's a great dude, good friend. So I appreciate his recommendation. Actually, not just recommendation. He gave us this coffee.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it.
Very nice. Thank you, Nick.
He goes above and beyond. He didn't make me purchase this. He dropped off a bag of Pete's Big Bang Roast. The more I got to thinking about that, I'm like, Nick, this is a Christian podcast. And you're dropping off a roast called the Big Bang.
Hey.
But whatever.
Pretty big bang when God spoke.
It was. So this is Pete's Coffee. I've had it before, but it's been a long time. And I don't remember where. I just remember, is Pete's, do they have stores or like pop-up places in malls? Is that the place that I'm thinking of?
Are you thinking of Gloria's? Or
maybe that's what I'm thinking. Gloria Jean's.
That's what I was thinking of.
Okay. Okay.
Pete's, you know, you... this kind of leads in not to our question for the day, but maybe a topic of conversation as we enjoy our coffee.
Yeah.
Since you are a woke pastor, you enjoy Disney World. Pete's has little carts, coffee carts at some Disney locations.
Maybe that's where I have it. Yeah. Yes.
So can a pastor enjoy a woke place like Disney? That was actually posed to me.
I tell you what, I will say I was not looking forward to it. I'm not a Disney guy. So my wife wanted our kids to experience it. And I was like, one day, okay, that's fine. It was actually really good.
Yeah.
None of that stuff was in our face. None of that. And I get it. Like, you know, there'll be people who are like, well, you went and bought tickets, so you supported it. I understand that. However, we went, the lines were like nothing. It was blazing hot there. And thankfully, nobody else wanted to come. And so it was, we got on every single thing we wanted to. We waited like 20 minutes in one line, and that was the longest line we waited in all day. So that part was great. My kids loved it. Now don't take that as a recommendation of all the things the Disney Corporation stands for. But we were in Florida anyways, and we're like, let's go check it out. One day it was really good. And so, yeah.
Yeah. But, well, what's interesting to me is while you were down there, a friend of ours posed that to me, said, you should ask Ben on the podcast. And,
thanks.
I'm thinking, you don't know who you're asking. Yeah. Because of the two of us, I'm far more of the Disney person.
Yes, it was very much reluctant that I was going, but no, it was really good. The kids loved it, and that was part of it. It was like to watch the kids, you know, really enjoy themselves and to see them light up. That was really cool. Yeah. And so, no, it was one of those things. Like, don't take that as an endorsement of anything, but the kids really had a fun time. And no, we didn't see any of that stuff. And so, and it's one of those things. Also, I know I'm going way into this, but we also are intentional about not hiding some of that stuff from our kids. Not like you put it in front of their face or anything, yeah. But if they're confronted with it, okay, let's sit down and talk about this.
Yeah.
And we can compare that to what the Bible says and all that stuff. So, yeah, probably making that too big of a conversation here, but, so let's shut up and let's have some Pete's coffee.
There's a little mini question for
there
us.
There we go.
Coffee time.
All right.
Okay. That
it's good.
Yeah. Tastes like, I'm having visions back to our Folgers episode. I mean, it's,
yeah,
I will say I'm a bigger fan of this than Folgers.
I really thought you were going to say it tastes like Disney.
No, no. Like,
ooh, nice. Gosh,
yes. No, it's tastes like what you would think a cup of coffee would taste like. But it's got a strong body.
It does.
Yeah, it's got a full flavor.
Yeah, it's a darker roast, which I like. I don't, maybe transporting that in the French press helped that. I don't know. No, it's good. I mean,
it's definitely staying blazing hot in that French press.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to say 6.3.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. What was our Folgers? Folgers was 5.
Folgers was 5.
I mean, it's
5.
Better than Folgers.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah, I'm gonna be right there with you, man. I think I'm gonna go 6.6.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the dark nature of it. It is full bodied. You're right. So yeah. Hey, Nick, thanks for the recommendation, man. Pete's Coffee, Big Bang Roast. You know, no Squirrely Joe's, but.
No.
It's tough to be that.
That's right.
However, this is a good cup of coffee. So, Pete's Big Bang.
Pete's Big Bang.
Go check them out. That's even better when a friend buys it for you.
That's right.
So, no, it's good stuff.
So, real, I gave it a 6.3. You gave it a 6.6.
Yeah.
You know, those few extra percentage points probably is because it was purchased for you, you know, and given to you.
It was the generosity that was coming through.
It was you know, free to me as well,
yes.
Which I appreciate,
yes.
But... yeah, you know Nick and was giving it to you, so
That
definitely helps.
I bumped it up.
Yeah, for sure.
No, that's good. Well, we've got a great question today. I'm really excited about this question because it indicates interest, and you'll understand what I mean. This question has come in from a listener that is wondering, how do I function within the church? And so the question specifically that came in is, what is my role in the church? Now, this is a person that is not in vocational ministry. So they would consider themselves an attender of the church. And they're kind of at this spot of wondering, like, where do I fit into this? Because, and I love this, they understand that there is more for them than simply coming in, sitting in the chair, listening to the service, being a part of that, and then jetting out.
Yeah.
Like, there's more for the church. There's more for them as a participant of the church. And so I love this because it's actually something that you and I have been talking about a lot, too.
Very timely.
We feel that there is more for the church. And I know... pastors can say that a lot, and it's really hokey. And but I mean that when you look at the American church specifically, and you look at how consumer Christianity has infiltrated the church, you want people to recognize there is more for you than simply coming and attending, like as though this is an event. There is a purpose for you in this. God has designed the church, and I don't mean that the building. I mean that the body of believers He's constructed. He's operated that and orchestrated it in a certain specific way that you have a part in. And so I love this question because it indicates the feeling of, hey, I want to be a part of this and not simply be a bystander to it. So I know you and I have talked about this, especially over the last couple of weeks, is it's kind of, we're racking our brains figuring out, how do we communicate this? What's your take on this question?
Well, my first thought, you know, I want to distinguish, you know, what is my role in the church? Mm-hmm. Distinguish between the big church, big mm-hmm. C church, what mm-hmm. we often will say.
Yeah.
The church at large, the body of Christ.
Yes.
And the local church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this conversation that you and I have been having is born out of this idea of our role in the global church, in the big church at large. It should be something that impresses upon every area of our life.
Mm.
It should be the center point of our life. Yeah. Everything that we do, the way that we work, the way that we vote, I mean, it's 2024, it's election year.
Yeah.
The way that we raise our kids, the way that we have friendships, our marriage, our aspect of our life, our finances.
Yeah.
Everything should be centered upon being a part of the church, being a Christian.
Yeah, yeah. Big C church, meaning we're submitting our lives, every aspect, like you laid out, under the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so, first, what is my role in the church? I mean, we are to be a part of the body of Christ, and every area of our life should be marked by that.
Yes.
People should recognize, okay, there is something about us that maybe it's different. Maybe it just stands out above the rest, mm-hmm. Depending on, you know, what area of our life we're talking about, but that's one distinction. What we're going to talk about should be influenced by that, obviously, because it affects everything.
Yeah.
But we are going to talk more about what is my role in the local church,
yes.
particularly as church leaders at this church.
Yeah.
What is my role in this church? So if you are a member of a church, I think these things that we've laid out are going to be applicable, I would think, to every church.
Yeah.
But these are things that we've kind of identified and said, this needs to be primary for our people.
So let's kind of talk about the origins of this conversation, because, and this is going to sound heartless, and I don't mean it this way, but one of the things that I got tired of, and you and I discussed this, was something I jokingly, lovingly call obituary membership.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is the person who maybe at one point in time in their life attended a certain church and maybe they were baptized there, but then the next 50 years, like, had no part in it, no part of serving the body, no real attendance at all. Like, but because one day they made a decision in that church, they would claim they are a member of that church for the rest of their life. And something about that doesn't sit right with me, because I think we are totally missing the point of what the local church is called to be. Like, this is an active thing, not a one-time decision and error. And it's almost treated as a club.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I paid my dues on this day and I'm a member forever. Never did anything, never showed up, never served anybody, never gave to the church, never did all these different things. But it is a placeholder in my obituary to hopefully tell people that I was a good person. And I know that sounds heartless, and I really don't mean it that way. The point of that is to say there is so much more for you in the local church than just a line in your obituary. And if that's all it is, like, one, I would say, hey, let's step back and not focus on the church so much. Let's focus on Christ. Like, let's solidify our relationship with Him first. But then two, on the other side of that, then He has brought you into this body of believers. So whether you like it or not, as a believer in Christ, you are a part of the church, and you are called to be a contributing member of the body in a local context. So that's kind of the origins of all that. But the second side of that, probably 1B, is because of 2020, because of the COVID pandemic, everybody went to online church. And I get why, and I understand. I did the same thing. So I understand why, and I understand the value of that. The problem is it's given now, 4 years removed from that, it's given a lot of people the excuse they needed to stay home. Well, I'm still a part of the church. I'm just watching online. Well, okay, you're viewing church from a consumeristic standpoint, because you're saying, as long as I watched my TV, computer, tablet, phone, whatever, and listened to the sermon, I was at church on Sunday. Well, you were from the standpoint of a church service, but there's so much more for the church. And really, what did you contribute to the church? A view, a click.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not trying to say
a number on a metric.
Yeah, yeah, a number on a metric. The church is more than that. Mm-hmm. And shame on church leaders if we've given people the excuse that, or the tools to say, yes, you are in the church when that. Now, I understand there are certain illnesses and certain life circumstances that has to be your thing. And I get, and that's not what I'm speaking to. What I am speaking to is the people who say, "Eh, I'm just going to watch from home today."
Yeah.
And a day turns into 3 weeks, and 3 weeks turns into 3 years, and all of a sudden they've got a line in their obituary: "I watched the services at X church." You know, and so.
Well, and what you get is this idea that you're not a part of anything. Yeah. You just view it and move on, and yep. And one of the benefits of technology, and this is where we take things that God has given us and we distort it, and this is a good example. It is a blessing that we have technology to record a podcast, to record our services, to live stream them, to put them online. That when a person is, I know you were just on vacation a few weeks mm-hmm. ago, and you were able to watch our services and say, I still am connected with what's happening at our church.
Yes.
While you're on vacation, while you're sick. But the distortion comes when we say, like you're saying, that's just what I do.
Yes.
You know, this is how I attend church.
Yep.
Well, you're not a part of anything. You're just watching something in the same regards as I could turn on a live stream of a church six states away mm-hmm. and say, well, I attended that church today.
Yeah.
Well, no, I didn't. I listened to their sermon.
Yep.
I might have listened to their worship team, but I'm not a part of that church.
Yeah. Yep. There is something to be said about worshiping with people that you live amongst. Mm-hmm. That's why I think the local church is so important. But also helping to encourage, to meet the needs, to pray with those people, not just in that hour that you're here, but as you go and as you live your life. And I just feel like when the live stream church is misused, it becomes another tool of the consumer-driven church. Mm-hmm. Because now, what have you done? The church has fed you, but now who have you poured into? It's why if you watch our services online, and I'm thankful you do, but in its proper context. And the point of that, we'll give a disclaimer. You'll see me pop up before the sermon starts, and I'm going to say, hey, I'm thrilled you're watching with us. As a supplement to your belonging to a local church, never a replacement. And if you see it as that, if you see it as a supplement, great. That's what it's meant to be. That's what this podcast is meant to be. Yeah. Simply a supplement in your walk with Christ. It's not meant to be your replacement for belonging to a local group of believers. And I get it. Like, there's some pushback to that, because there's going to be a lot of people that say, I don't like people. Well, I understand that sentiment. I mean, we jokingly say on our staff a lot of times, like, ministry would be really easy if people weren't involved. However, this is what Christ has called us to.
Yeah.
He's called us to love people. It's his plan.
thank God he didn't come down to earth and say, I just don't like people.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Because I feel like at times no one would have been more of a pain in the side than me. No one is more of a pain in the side than me. Yeah. So I understand the sentiment. It's hard. This is not an easy entity to be a part of, but man, it's beautiful. Like the brokenness, the messiness, the pain, the hurt. And then on the other side, the joy and the connection and the depth. Like, it is this beautiful tension of, yes, I have to deal with people, but I do that because Christ has dealt with me.
Yeah.
Like, that's where that flows from. And so I'm getting on a tangent here, so we need to actually get to our material.
Yeah, we've kind of outlined five different areas.
We have, yes, yes. And so I want to make sure you understand that all of these things are a supplement to your walk with Christ. Livestream Church, it's excellent when you're traveling. It's excellent, although I think we should still maybe pop into a place if you want to, but it's a great supplement. This podcast is a great supplement. Your favorite Bible study or Bible podcast or whatever, it's a great supplement, but it's never a replacement for you belonging to a local group of believers in your local community. There's beauty in that. Mm-hmm. So, what does it look like, Alex, for someone to be a fully devoted member of Redbrush Christian Church? And I do think this applies to every local church. I think every local pastor would say, I want my people to do that. Mm-hmm. What does it look like for somebody to say, I want to get plugged in, I want to be a member of Redbrush? What does that entail?
Yeah. So, as I said, we've kind of outlined five different areas where we think, and you could come up with more. But I think for us, we've said these are the five core things that we want people to really focus in on.
Yeah.
And the first is attend regularly.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get to know the people around you. It's hard to be known by the people around you if you're not attending regularly, whether that's because you're watching online or it's like, well, you know, I just slept in this morning.
Yeah.
It's hard to be connected to the church if you're not here.
Well, and the sad part is the statistics show that the average regular attender in a church comes once a month.
Hmm.
And that's down about 10 years ago. It used to be twice a month.
Yeah.
It's down now to once a month.
Wow.
Think about that in any other context. If you went to your job once a month, you wouldn't get anything done, first of all.
Right.
But two, you wouldn't have connections with those people. If you sent your kids to school once a month, you would have, they'd be far behind. There'd be no connections. Like, they'd be lost. In every other spot in life, if you did it as infrequently as the regular attenders in church do, you would say, well, that's ridiculous. I would never do that because I'd be so far behind. I'd never be able to catch up. And it's like, but yet this is the approach we take in the church. And I'm not, I don't want to get legalistic about this. I want to make sure that that's said, but how can you expect to be connected to fellow believers? How can you expect to understand the word of God when you're trying to do it all on your own? And I don't mean like you have to have me mediate for you, but I mean like we're opening the scriptures together. We're examining the word of God, you know, whether it's you preaching, whether it's me preaching, whether it's somebody else, like that's what we strive to do. Open up the word of God, see what it says and how it applies to God's people. Now let's go live it out. You know, that's the point.
Well, and I think that we kind of lose sight of the fact that having a Bible that we can, I mean, it's on our phone.
Yeah.
We have them hopefully in our home that we're opening up. What a blessing that is.
Yeah.
But if you think back to the New Testament times, the Old Testament times, that wasn't even 1,000 years ago. That was not the case. People didn't have Bibles that they carried around this was a collective experience that to hear the scriptures read, you came together.
Yeah.
At a church, at a place of worship, to have the scriptures read to you.
Yep.
Because, I mean, sadly, 1,000 years, maybe you couldn't read.
Yeah.
But you certainly couldn't afford to have all of this, you know, before the printing press.
Yeah.
That's really what changed things.
Yep.
And so it was always a collective experience.
Yes.
And we forget that sometimes because we live not only in modern times with the different amenities that we have, but it's to be honest, we live in modern America.
Yeah.
Where everything is hyper-individualized.
And isn't that the case? Like, you look at all of these different advancements, and some of them are great, but what are they all designed to do? Not to bring people together, actually to remove them further from their need for other people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so again, there are some things that are great. Like, man, when you're on vacation, I am so thankful for Grubhub or Uber Eats or whatever, you know, like I love not having to go and navigate all these places, have somebody bring it to me. But you look at all these different technological advances, and all of them are meant to appeal to a consumer as an individual, to remove them further from the community and the collective. And it's like, not that I want to go back and live in communes and everything, but at the same time, it's like, God has told us we need each other. Mm-hmm. And yet everything that we see being developed around us removes us further from our need for other people.
Yeah. And we talked about this actually as we're recording, I believe this past Sunday. Mm-hmm. We're studying through Hebrews.
Yeah.
And this was the passage that we came to. And if you have it, do you have it open?
Yeah, or? Hebrews chapter 10. Where is it here?
23 through 25.
Yeah. Okay. So it's let us hold. So he's talking about persevering in the faith, and this is a key to that. The key to persevering in the faith, because of the confidence you have in Jesus, is let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promises faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Mm. So isn't that is the exact opposite of what we see in the Christian culture, especially the Western Christian culture today. The writer of Hebrews says, hey, as we see the day of Christ approaching, and we're certainly closer to that than we were at the writing of this, don't neglect meeting together, press in even more. And yet our culture has made it so that we can actually do the opposite. Like, yeah, you can still worship and do all these things further removed from one another.
Yeah. And just as a reminder, Hebrews was not written 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. us. This is obviously something that has been a temptation for Christians for a few thousand years now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can do this on my own now.
Yep.
Well, no, we are built for community. God created us in his image.
Yep.
And God exists within community, the Trinity, triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, yep, existing within one. We're made to be in community with one another.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the greatest things, and I'm just going to step in this here. Okay.
Oh boy.
One of the best things that you can say to protect this in your life is no. There are certain things that you and I need to say no to. Good things, not evil things, but that we need to say no to in order to protect this, to protect our involvement, to protect our presence in a local community of believers. I mean, and I know this is the low-hanging fruit, but the children's activities now, whether it's sports, whether it's clubs, whether it's whatever, used to be confined to a certain section of the week. Now it's 7 days a week. Yeah. And so you've got different travel sports, and I love sports. We both are big sports fans. I love them as much as anybody. But there are moments where we have to show our children, as the leaders of our household, as the ones who are kind of protecting them as they're developing, there are times that in the face of good things, we have to say no, because we are, and I don't want to make it legalistic to say like, well, it's, you know, it's church or nothing. But I mean, we have to say no to protect this, mm-hmm, because this is so important. I mean, scripture speaks to this, like, don't neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And it shows that this has been a problem since the beginning of the church. But he's saying, you've got to protect this time because it's valuable. And I don't just want to zoom in on an hour on Sunday and say, that's the most important thing. But as far as like, if whatever your activities, your kids' activities, whatever are taking you out of this belonging to a local group of believers, Sunday morning, Wednesday, like, just throughout your life, you need to say no to some things.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed, having been a youth minister before, and not in this area, so I can discuss this freely, but it's something I saw was, it seemed like there was always a dedication to what people signed up to do until it came to church. And then if something else, well, you know, this got moved to that date, and so, you know, we're going to have to not be, it's like, well, hold on, you're a part of this community too. Why is this community always the one to get schluffed off and say, well, you know, something else came up.
Yeah.
This should be, again, not legalism, but this should be something that affects every area of our life. And this should be something that we are looking forward to being with other Christians, gathering together, encouraging one another.
Yeah.
The joy that comes from gathering together again.
Yes. And I want to make it clear, I'm not saying you don't ever do those things.
Sure. Like,
those are all great things. And those are gifts from God. So I don't want to, I love that stuff as much as anybody, but there are moments where you need to show your kids, or your spouse, or your community at large, like, we're going to say no to some good things because we believe that Christ is the best thing. And so we're going to spend time worshiping Him as a family. We're going to spend time fellowshipping with other believers. We're going to spend our lives around this. And those other things, those are great. If we have time, we're going to do those.
Yeah.
But they're never going to replace this, because this is the most important identity that we have as a believer, as a member of this community, and we're not willing to sacrifice that. And I get it. I think, you know, I can be heavy-handed on that stuff, but I get the struggle that parents have in our culture today. They feel like, if I don't do this for my kid, then I have squandered all opportunities that he or she has to advance in whatever they're doing. I get that struggle, and I get how that weighs on you. It's easier for me to say, just say no, when it's continuously in our faces. But there is a time when you need to be willing to say, you know what? We're not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to sacrifice that for this and not the other way around. So I'm with you in that. I understand the struggle, but there are moments where you got to say no.
Yeah. And just kind of as a final thing on that, I'm one of the things that I'm appreciative of and have admired moving into this area is of the state, seeing farmers during planting season, during harvest, that, hey, Sunday morning, we're at church.
Yeah.
Now, sure, there are times where it's, you know, storms are going to come in all week and we got to get as much done as we can. And so they might miss a time like that to go out. Understandable. But their commitment is, on a regular basis, we're at church.
Yep.
The farming can wait. The job can wait. The sports can wait. That whatever it is in our life will wait.
Yeah.
Until after this.
And
I've appreciated that.
Oh, yeah. One of the coolest things I've seen is, like, a farmer come in with mud all on his boots and his jeans because he's been planting all morning or he's been harvesting all morning. But he's going to come to church with his family. And he does that. And then you know what he's going to do right after? He's going to go right back out to the field. But in that moment, he said, this is worth stopping because this is more important.
Yeah.
And please know that we're not trying to make this a legalistic conversation. It's just a reminder, as you kind of take inventory of your life, what is the most important things? Is Christ the most important thing? And if he is, then everything else is ordered under that. So I just want to, I know sometimes we can equate, well, if you're not here 3 out of 4 Sundays, you're not a Christian. That's not what we're saying. We're saying, hey, let's do this thing called life a little differently than maybe the world says we should, because of who Christ is. Let's order our lives differently because of what he's done for us. So I feel like we need to make that disclaimer.
Yeah. So first kind of primary thing that we've hit, attend whatever church you attend, attend it regularly.
Yes.
So what's the second thing that we've kind of identified?
So the second thing is this. I want to equip our people, and just talking specifically here at Redbrush, I want to equip our people to be evangelistic in their approach to life. And part of that, and again, this is not the main thing. The main thing is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But as a part of the local church, we want to be inviting people to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And so one of our core values as a member of Redbrush is we're going to invite people frequently. And I don't say that like the VBS, like bring a friend with you next week. It's like, no, because
so Christ, you're not going to preach from the roof one week.
I considered it.
If we have,
I considered
people.
It. Yeah. It depends if we can get a flannel graph up there or not, but yeah. We'll see. But I want our people to have an evangelistic outlook on life. Like everybody that I talk to is somebody that either, you know, is a fellow believer in Christ or somebody that could be, like, mm-hmm. that changes how you view people. But also, like, we want to bring them into this body of believers. Or let me also say this, or another group of believers. Like, I will never be the one, even though I'm a pastor at Redbrush Christian Church, I will never say, like, if you go to another church, you're settling for less. Like, I'm not going to say that. I want you to be plugged into a Bible-believing church, a Jesus-exalting church. And if one of our people invites you and you decide, hey, I just don't feel like I can get plugged in here, but I'm going to get plugged in there, praise God for that, because it's about the church. It's not about this one body of believers. Yeah, we'd love for you to be a part of this, but if you're going to get plugged in somewhere else, praise God for that. If your life's been changed by Christ and you decide, I actually like that place better, excellent. Yeah. Go in there, jump in with both feet and serve, love, give wholeheartedly. But our people need to know, like, hey, we're going to bring somebody along with us on this ride. Mm-hmm. Like, because Christ is so good, I want you to know who he is. Now, there's a thing that happens in the Western church today, maybe all around, I don't know. We're not in the business of trying to pull you in from somewhere else. Like, that's not, I'm not interested in that. Like, if you're serving somewhere and you're plugged in, I don't want my people saying, hey, but this is better. Like, they have better music here. They have better, you know, whatever here. That's not the point of the church. I want people who are broken, who are lost, who don't know Christ. That's who I want to go after. That should be our focus as the church. And so I want our people to look for those opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Jesus says he came to seek and save that which was lost, mm-hmm. and to help them be found, not to go in and make converts from one church to another, but to make disciples.
Yeah.
People who follow after him. And so, yeah, we're not looking to grow our church at the expense of another.
No,
we're all about growing the kingdom, the church at large.
You know what happens when a church grows by transfer? A lot of times, they're going to lose it by the same thing before too long, because it's not going to be long before that style doesn't really fit their changing of life stage anymore. Or there's a brand new shiny place in town that they like better, and so they're going to go there. Like. Mm-hmm. The same thing that you grow by, you can often lose by. And so you just got to be careful about that. So let me tell you this. I would rather grow and lose in this manner. I would rather grow by us inviting people who don't know Christ, them becoming followers of Jesus. And then I would rather lose people by those people being sent out and going to plant churches or moving to go be evangelists somewhere else. Like, man, if you're going to grow and lose, that's how I want to do it. Not by, hey, come, we're the new shiny place in town. Crud, now they're the shiny place in town, so we're just transferring people. Like, I'm not interested in that. No. Let's go get the lost, and then let's send them out. If you're going to grow and you know, ebb and flow in your attendance, let's do it that way.
Yeah, and I think we should say that this isn't about growing our church or a specific church. When you're inviting them, when you're inviting people frequently to your church, you're inviting them into know more about Christ, to grow in their relationship with it. You're inviting them into a relationship with Christ.
Yep.
And so when we're talking about invite frequently, it's not just about saying, well, we want to grow our church. We want to grow our church because sure. people are coming to know Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. Not because, as we said, they're transferring here.
So. Yep, absolutely. So yeah, we want our people to look for those opportunities and to take advantage of them, bring somebody with them. And what God does with them, man, that's him. Like, our job is simply to give them the gospel, to speak that truth. God's the one that's in the business of changing their hearts. So, mm-hmm. But we want to have an evangelistic outlook in life. The next thing is this. I want our people to actually be a part of the local church. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we're kind of trying to be countercultural to this consumerism model that often arises in the church. We want our people to use their gifts and abilities and talents to serve other people. And so kind of the third benchmark of being a member at Redbrush, we want it to be serving sacrificially. Sacrificing time, sacrificing, you know, your gifts and abilities. And I don't mean that like giving them up. I mean, using them to serve someone else, not for your own glory. That's a big deal in the church.
Yeah. And it could be something as simple as hosting people within your home. Mm-hmm. I know that, my wife has a ladies group. They met last night and, they hadn't met at our house in a little over a month, probably, because when they met that first time, other people start saying, hey, we can meet at my house 1 week and, yeah. and we can meet at our house 1 week. And, yep. and it's just that mentality of I'll open my home. Yep. I'll let you in. And there's something pretty, you are exposing yourself. You're yeah, like, this is my home. This yeah. is where I live. But
well, I will say you guys are very good at that. Like you guys, I know your wife kind of is the one who has the gift of hospitality. Yeah. And I'm not saying you don't. You have other
gifts. It's natural to her.
It is natural. Yeah. And you can just tell like she craves or not craves that. Like that's her gift. And so she craves operating in that gift and she does it really well.
No, well, I appreciate that. And I know she will when she hears this. Yes. If she listens, we'll see if she listens.
Yeah, next week when you watch this, you'll hear this.
Yeah, I mean, serving within the church is, and without outside the church as well. I mean, as we said, mm-hmm. this should impact every area.
Yeah.
We should serve selflessly wherever we go. If yeah. we see an opportunity, something that needs done, we should do it.
Yeah.
I learned from Brian Hamilton, who was here mm-hmm. before you were, yeah. just watching him walk across the parking lot mm-hmm. and there would be a piece of trash blowing across the parking lot
yep.
and he'd stop and pick it up. That yeah. sounds small, but it was that he took pride in,
yeah.
in this place and wanted yep. it to be nice and look nice. And that's something yeah. small that
yeah.
probably most people didn't even see
yep.
or notice, but, it's those little things. What can I do to help other people around us?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And there's a role, there's a place that you could serve just about anywhere at the church.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite things is helping people find that
yeah.
that place where mm-hmm. they can plug in. And what you really find is that your relationship with God grows in a way that you didn't expect.
Yeah.
Because you're operating within the way that you're gifted to serve him.
Yes.
And to serve other people.
Yeah.
And it could be as simple as taking care of the yard, taking out trash,
yeah.
Changing diapers, whatever it is. You know, for some people, they're going to say, I don't want to change diapers. And others are saying, I love just cradling babies and holding them and singing little songs yeah. to them. And that makes their heart leap with joy. Yep. And that's a way God can use them. For other people, it's running the slides. You know, they're like, yeah. I don't want to be up front and be seen, but
yep.
put me in front of a computer, put me in the live stream room, point to some tables that need wiped off.
Yeah.
Everybody has a unique giftedness.
Yes.
That God wants to use.
Yep. And we do sometimes glorify some of those showy gifts.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, none of these are greater than the other. The Bible speaks to this. Like we need one another and these different parts are not greater than the other. They all serve a purpose of serving the body. And so I think if you're struggling with, well, I don't have a gift that's going to be used on stage or I don't have a gift that a lot of people are going to notice, God does.
Yeah.
He's the one who gave you that gift.
Right.
Operate within that, not as a means of being seen, but to say, God, you have given me so much. You have been so gracious to me. How can I not use the gifts that you've given me to serve other people in that? And so seen or unseen, operate within those gifts. Like you have a unique gifting and a unique role to play in the church that other people don't possess. And something's off in the body when you're not operating in those gifts.
Yeah. And just you kind of said, you'd step into something a little bit ago. I'll step into it now. If you're motivation in serving is to be seen and to be mm-hmm. noticed and be recognized and get the publicity from it, you might need to step back and yeah. reevaluate.
Yeah.
We are serving God
yep.
first and foremost. We're serving other people. And so if you're seeking for yourself,
mm-hmm.
you might be seeking with the wrong motivations
yeah.
in serving.
Absolutely.
And so maybe, Maybe that's not an area that you need to be in right now. Maybe you need to find a more behind the scenes thing that says, I'm going to do this because it's what God is calling me to do, not because I want people to recognize me.
Absolutely.
Recognition is great. I mean, don't get me wrong. We have phenomenal worship team. We have great preaching. Say that as someone who preaches from time to time. So we're phenomenal. We are really well. But it does feel, there's nothing wrong with having people recognize your giftedness and saying, I so appreciate when, you know, you sing or you get to you do community meditation or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. Right. But if that's your motivation, it's like, man, when can I do that again so people will recognize me?
Yep.
That's where it becomes an issue.
Yep, absolutely. And you'll never find the fulfillment that gift could give you otherwise when it's channeled in the proper direction.
Yeah.
When you're seeking the praise of men, that is fleeting.
Yes.
And that, you know, as somebody who communicates, you know, almost weekly, like that changes week to week. You have some of those moments where you're like, man, everybody shared that sermon. Everyone loved that. You have the next week, it could be like, oh, I think everyone hated that one. Like, nobody shared it. Nobody liked it. What's the deal? And so you just see the roller coaster that you're on when you are seeking the praise of men. It's like, man, that's fleeting, and it's never going to give you the fulfillment that you hope that it does. Yeah. And so we would be better served turning our attention to service towards God and blessing his people as opposed to getting the recognition, because that is very fleeting.
Yeah.
Next thing is one of those things that often becomes controversial in the church, but it shouldn't be.
No.
We believe that our members at Redbrush, those who would say, this is my church home, this is where I want to plug into, we believe that we should give, and not just give a little, we believe we should give extravagantly. And now that's different based on who you are and your circumstances in life. And I totally understand that. However, like, we have been called to build this together. And I don't just mean the entity of the church. I mean, we've been called to give our gifts, to give our talents, to give our abilities, to give our time, but also to give our resources for the advancement of the church. And so if you would claim to be a member of Redbrush, we're going to say, hey, I think you should be giving to the church, right? Mm-hmm. To further the ministry. That's not a way of us saying, hey, we kind of need raises. So if you know what I mean? Like, it's not that. It's like, hey, if we did this together, if everybody was on board, look at what the kingdom impact that could be made. And I don't want to toot our own horn on that and say, look what we could do. Look what God could do in the midst of that. And does God need money to do that? No, he doesn't. But there are certain things in this world that, yes, we can advance the ministry because of money. And so we use it as a tool, not the thing that we seek, not the ultimate goal. We use it as a tool for kingdom advancement. But it takes everybody. It takes all of us being a part of that. And so we want our people to recognize you have a role in this. There are times when, like if you're a part of a class and whatever it is, you've signed up for some, it's a free class, there's no buy-in to that. Right? If something better comes along, okay, well, I'm going to do that. I didn't pay any money towards this.
Right.
There is something that says I'm a part of this when I have put my resources in. And so when we give extravagantly towards the church, we have a buy-in automatically. Not that to say, well, I've given this much, so I expect this much authority. That's not it.
Nope.
But it is to say, no, I'm in this. I'm invested in the kingdom. And so I'm going to be a part of this. And here's the ways that it's going to play itself out.
Yeah. You know, Jesus says that we can't serve two masters. We either will follow one and hate the other, or follow the other and hate the one. So I think God knew that when we invest our money into something, it says a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he's instituted this. It's not because God needs our money.
Right.
He owns everything.
Yeah.
He is the one who created and is in control of all things.
Yep.
So it's not about that. But I always go back to this verse in Malachi chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
It says, since the days of your father, you have turned from my statutes. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of armies. Yet you ask, how can we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. You ask, how do we rob you? By not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions, not tithing and not giving your offerings.
Mm-hmm.
You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. Again, God is the one who controls it all, but he's not seeking our money as much as he's seeking our obedience.
Yes, and that's the point of that passage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is most important to you? Yeah. Naturally, we put what's most important to us first.
Yeah.
By the way we spend our money, by the way we spend our time, by the way we spend our resources. And if everything is about what we can do for ourselves, or you know, making sure that I got to make sure I'm taken care of. Well, yeah, but God will take care of you.
Yeah.
God will take care of us. And what we see all throughout Scripture is when we come together, we have so much more than we recognize individually.
Yeah.
And we can take care of the needs of one another. When someone is in need, there should be an overflow in God's storehouse of resources.
Yep.
And we're fortunate in our country and in our church. We have resources to help and to give to people, but the impact that we could have still has room to grow. There's still
absolutely
ways that we can grow and reach new people.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, all of this is to draw your heart to God. Like the point of the passage of Malachi is not to say, well, because you didn't give this amount, like you're done. No, it's to say, because it starts off. I mean, I love where you started that, because he says, you've turned from my laws and statutes. In other words, you have turned your hearts far from me. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you return back to me? Well, by giving me your heart. And so he's not necessarily, the money isn't even the focus, but he is saying like, hey, where you put your resources shows where your heart is directed towards. Bring them back to me. Like, give your heart to me and everything else is going to flow. And so the blessings that come from that, I hate the health and wealth gospel where it's like, you know, we give to get. No, I mean, we give because we recognize how much we've been given in Christ. But the blessing that comes from that may not even be monetary. Mm-mm. Like, there's no guarantee in Scripture that, hey, you give, God's going to triple that and you're going to be rich for it. You know, no, the blessing comes from having a relationship with the creator of the universe that is worth far more than whatever piddly money you've brought into his presence. Like, the blessing is him. And what he's saying is, turn your heart, turn your attention towards me, and I'm going to give you the blessing that comes from a relationship with following me.
Yeah. So one of the things I always, we talk about God's math, a tenth, you know, the tithe being the tenth. Mm-hmm. I had it explained to me when I was younger this way, that God doesn't ask for 10%. You know, he's asking us to live and to function on 90%.
Yeah.
You know, that's generous. Yeah. He's saying, I want you to keep that. But the blessing sometimes doesn't come in God's math of, well, you give 10 and then I'm going to return 20 to you.
Right.
You know, it's not that, but it is in that sense of recognizing, man, I have so much. Like, I feel like, how can I function without that 10%? You know, I could use that for X, Y, or Z. Really, when we give, and the 10th being the first fruits, mm-hmm. when we give it up front, we recognize, like, I didn't really need that. Yeah. I didn't need you know, that money to make, to have a little bit nicer car. And so my car payment or, you know, buying, saving up and buying this car or this item, that's not needed. I have what I need.
Yeah.
Those things are wants and they're good blessings, but it's not a need for me.
Right.
And so it aligns our heart with what is important.
Yeah.
When we put God first.
Is my contentment in the gift, or is my contentment in the giver?
Yeah.
It's really where it comes down to. Well, the last thing as we wrap up this episode is we want our people to connect intentionally. And I think it kind of goes back to what we've talked about throughout this podcast, but we need each other. There is no such thing as lone wolf Christianity. And that's kind of become more popular. Like, I don't need people. I'm just going to You know, and then I'm going to find God out in nature, and I'm not going to attend church, even though, yes, God has told me to meet together in some capacity. But we need to be intentional about building connections, especially in a culture that is very intentional about removing those connections further. You know, you have thousands of Facebook friends and yet no real friends. You know, you have thousands of digital acquaintances and yet you won't stop and talk to them when you see them in Walmart. You know, you like it's this real weird dichotomy of I've got so many connections and no real strong relationships. And we want more for our people than that.
Yeah, I think this one kind of encapsulates so much of what we've already said, but it's still worth having as a bullet point because it's so important. It's being able to invite people into something, to open up your home, to serve them, to be willing to give of your resources, but to connect intentionally with people. There are people that I think sometimes we don't realize how much we're craving connection with other people.
Yes.
Until we begin to have those connections and we're like, I needed that.
Yeah.
You and I went on the men's float trip about a month ago now.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't know if I can say this on the podcast. I was dreading it.
Sure.
I was like, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
I do, but I don't, you know?
Right.
And then we went and it was just a great weekend.
Yeah.
And I had so much fun connecting with guys that had talked to maybe a little bit and got to talk to them more, got to learn more about them. They learned more about me. It was just a great time. And on our way home, you probably don't realize that I was thinking this because I was sleeping in the back of your car the whole time. But
yes. Yes. You had some stamina to sleep that long, man. I was impressed.
But yeah. But there was this kind of, I needed that. I needed those connections.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that people, it's going to push them out of their comfort zone. But I think that in the end, it's going to be something that blesses them more than they realize.
Yes. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be an extravagant thing like going away for a weekend. Although I agree, that was excellent. Like, and I was one that's like, I know how far of a drive it is. Like, I have other things I could do around my house. But man, when you step on the other side of that, you're like, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. I really needed that. And but it's as simple as going out to lunch with somebody. Like you said, opening up your home. Nothing has to be extravagant. So I'll say this. I'm trying something and we'll see what comes of it. But if nothing comes of it, at least it's for me. I am trying to once a week have an intentional connection with someone. And I'm going to do that over a table. And so whether it's 2 weeks ago, we invited somebody, a couple over to our house that we hadn't seen in a long time. And we're really close to before, but just kind of life happened. And and so we invited them back. And it was just a great time to connect with them. And then this couple days ago, I had lunch with a guy. Just we said, hey, let's go to the Mexican restaurant in town. And so I'm going to try 52 weeks sitting at a table with somebody or different people. And I'll include my family in that or I'll go by myself, like whatever that looks like. But I just want to make those intentional connections because honestly, at the beginning of it, when you're going to it, you're like, oh, I have so many other things I could do. It feels like a waste of my time. And then you step on the other side of that, you're like, holy cow, I didn't realize how much I need people. Yeah. And so I would encourage you to do something along those lines. Now, it doesn't have to be like that every single week, but be intentional about connecting with people because it's uncomfortable on the front, but at the end, you're going to say, man, I really needed that.
Yeah. And this table doesn't count.
No, you know, no. I wish it would because I'd hit it every week. But.
Yeah. So, well, those are five kind of benchmarks that we've kind of set. And those are things we're fleshing out and discussing still. But it just seemed to fit in with this question that we got. What is my role in the church? Well, to be a someone who's a member, who's plugged in, who's fully devoted follower of Christ here at Redbrush, we want them to attend weekly. Mm-hmm. We want them to invite frequently. Give extravagantly, mm-hmm. serve sacrificially, and connect intentionally.
Yep.
Again, there's probably other things you could come up with, but for us, we said these are five things that we don't want people to miss out on.
Yep.
And that kind of sets the standard for who we are as a church.
And the why behind all of that is because Christ has been so generous to us. He has mm-hmm. given us so much, brought us into this family. How can we not now step out and reach other people for him? This yeah. is all built around that. So Absolutely. Because of who he is, because of what he's done, we have a role to play that we get to play, and it's a blessing to be a part of the church.
For sure. For sure. So I want to thank you for joining us in this episode of Since You Asked, episode number 11, What is My Role in the Church? Thank you for your question. If you've got a question that you want to send to us, we'd love to answer your question on a future episode. You can email us at question@redbrushcc.org. That's question@redbrushcc.org. And we'll take your question on a future episode. If you've got a coffee recommendation, we always are available for those as well.
Yep.
And if this has been a blessing for you, I want to ask you to share this episode, rate it, review it. That helps us out on the algorithm. Lets other people know that, lets the Apple, Spotify, lets them know that this has been beneficial to me.
This is what the people want.
Yeah, it's what the people want.
Which I will say, pretty soon we're going to have to celebrate, maybe do a coffee giveaway. We recently went over 5,000 downloads on the podcast. And so
right.
that's pretty cool. I know, and you know, it doesn't compare to a lot of major ones, but for us, pretty big deal.
It is.
So it's a testament to you guys. We appreciate you sharing that and asking questions, giving us something to talk about.
Yeah. Ben's always up on the metrics. I'm not. So it's because he's young. And
I could have totally made those up and you would have no idea.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, oh, that sounds great.
Wow.
But he's just so young and vine. I'm the old guy here.
Yeah. It's so, just what we do.
That's right. So we will see you next time on the Since You Asked podcast, and have a great week.